welcome to a special brewery showcase episode of
Brutal Battle.
Thank you. That is Rebecca. For people who have been listening to the podcast for some time now, you know that's Rebecca, and you know that I am Carlin. And this is actually the first time we're doing an episode of this type. I decided, typically what we do around the fifth episode after a decasode, we'll do a style episode for whatever decasode tournament we just had. But we have already covered IPAs previously, and we did that in our IPA Day episode, which was maybe even like over a year ago, I think, actually. And so I was like, well, we've already covered that style, so we don't need to cover it. So I was like, what else can we do? So we're deciding to do brewery showcase episodes every now and then. And brewery showcase is basically what it sounds like. I go out, I get beers from one specific brewery, and then we're going to taste and talk about those beers. But I'm also going to give you background information about the brewery itself. And the information will range just because, you know, breweries have different information on their websites. I did reach out to the brewery we're doing today, their PR person, and that person did not respond to me. So kind of bad on them for not caring, but they could also just be very busy. It was like 2 weeks ago. I don't know. But anyway, the brewery we're doing today is Victory Brewing Company, and they're out of Downingstown, Pennsylvania. Does that sound?
Downingtown. There's no
Downing.
S.
Okay, no S. Rebecca's the one from Pennsylvania originally, so I defer to her for the actual pronunciation of cities.
Doubting myself.
I think it's Downingtown. She's looking for it.
Yeah, Downingtown. I was right.
You got it.
Okay.
She's the one who taught me that it's not Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Lancaster.
Yeah.
So.
That's correct.
You're teaching me things, Rebecca. You're teaching me things.
I'm schooling you.
She is schooling me in a way. That is very accurate. So, Victory Brewing was originally started by two childhood friends, Ron Barchette, or Barchet, I don't know how you say it, probably Barchette, and Bill Kovaleski. Like I said, they were childhood friends. And then in 1985, Bill ended up being inspired by his father doing home brewing. Apparently his father did a lot of home brewing.
That's cool.
So he was kind of inspired, and he's like, oh, I kind of want to get into home brewing too. So he started doing it. And that same year, 1985, when he got inspired, he bought Ron a home brewing kit for Christmas. And then they started brewing together and separately and kind of like competing with each other with their recipes. So, you know, like a little healthy competition. And then later on in their lives, you know, they went out, they got their normal jobs. They've been home brewing the whole time. And then, you know, they had corporate American jobs. And then, yeah, exactly. And you'll hear that a lot of the times with breweries, they started up because someone had a corporate America job. They hated it. They hated their desk job, whatever they were doing, crunching numbers, writing reports, doing presentations. And they were like, you know, I love home brewing. Can I just do this for myself? I know, you know, we were watching an episode of Brew Dogs recently, mm-hmm. and the guy who founded Maui Brewing Company in Hawaii said the same thing. You know, he had a corporate job and he hated it. So he's like, can I do a brewery? And it was no different for Ron and Bill. And so it was kind of it took some time. With a lot of these things, it does take time. Ron had actually quit his corporate job first, and he went and started working with Baltimore Brewing Company. So he was actually in Baltimore, not far from us, doing stuff there. Yeah, and then from there, he went to school for brewing. He went to Technical University of Munich in Germany, and it was at Weihenstephan. And then after he was done there, he went to Old Dominion Brewing Company and was working there in Virginia. And people know we've had some Old Dominion beers on the show before.
Hmm.
And then after that, he and Bill decided to, you know, start Victory together. But while all this stuff was going on with Ron, Bill took over. As soon as Ron left to go to Munich for training, for his brewery schooling, Bill left his corporate job and took over Ron's position at Baltimore Brewing Company.
Mm.
And so he was there brewing beers, and apparently he was winning a bunch of awards with the beers that he was brewing through that place, including some at the Great American Beer Festival, which is a huge, you know, honor for the craft beer industry. So then from there, he went to a place called Domann's Institute, also in Munich, Germany. And that's where he learned his, you know, technical brewing skills. So then he came back and that's when they formed Victory. Victory opened in 1996. And at that point, it was producing 1,725 barrels of beer per year. Currently, they have been brewing per year 93,196 barrels a year. So, a pretty large difference. You can see that they've really been, you know, expanding and growing.
How far do they distribute?
Well, we'll get to that much later. I'm kind of breaking it up. I want to give you, I give you the groundwork to it now. We're going to taste a beer, then I'll talk a little bit more. It's a lot less information. So I'll talk a little bit about something else, and then we'll taste another beer, talk a little about something else. So, and so everyone knows we have four beers in front of us, so plenty of beers to talk about. Plenty.
Let's go.
Let's go with the first one. The first beer is one that is one of their flagship beers. It's their Prima Pils. It is a Pilsner, and from what I've been told, it is on the higher hopped side from most Pilsners out there. Except now, you know, people are doing the India Pale Lagers and India Pale Pilsners. Mm-hmm. So,
which I think are delicious.
Yeah, me too. But this was before that trend started. So we'll see how this is.
Okay.
So Prima Pils, and the ABV on that is 5.3% alcohol.
Hmm.
And we smell that.
Hey. Mm.
Smells very Pilsnery. There's just this... Like you said, hay. There's this mm-hmm. typical hay type smell that you get out of Pilsners.
I mean, you know it's a Pilsner. Well, the color, the smell, you know that right
Yeah,
away.
Because it is, I mean, it's very yellow, but it's like light yellow. It's not like any sort of dark yellow.
Urine.
Well, yes, it does look like urine. Pilsners typically look like urine.
Although really, you don't really want your urine this color, though.
No. It just smells. I do smell some perceptible hops in there. Okay, that are.
Yeah, I get some citrus.
Yeah, there's a little citrus. It's a little flowery, grassy.
Okay, I'm going in for the taste.
Very clean smelling though. It smells like refreshing and clean. So you tell me what you're thinking, and I'll sip on it.
I like it.
That's super clean. That's really, really clean. It finishes pretty neutral. It's got that typical Pilsner flavor. It's got a little more bitterness than you expect from a Pilsner, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which is probably from the higher level of hopping than your typical Pilsner. But are you getting any, like, citrus notes when you're tasting it?
Maybe a little. It's very, very easy to drink, though.
I get a tad bit. I actually get a tad bit of kind of like an orange peel flavor to it.
I could see that.
Without any fruit to it. Like, it's not, like, juicy or anything like that. And I say that because I'm getting that little... Okay, maybe it's better saying zest.
Okay, more well, like I was going to say like more orange of a... zest. I feel like it's more of, like, a lemon zest, though, than orange.
Okay, actually, I think... I will recant. Yes, I think you're right. I think you are correct. It is more of a lemon zest.
I'm right?
Uh-huh.
Look at that, listeners.
This is so clean and so smooth. This is the type of beer you could just keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep putting it down, putting it down, putting it down. No problem.
But it has flavor. It's not...
Mm-hmm. This is not a throwaway beer. As far as, like, straight-up Pilsners go, it's pretty impressive to me.
Now, if I gave this to you blind,
what
would you say?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think I'd give it, like, some sort of crazy awesome score. But I don't think I'm ever going to do that for Pilsners, just because that's not really my taste. But who knows, because I feel like our ratings have been changing a little bit on the show, because I am trying to kind of step away from the typical things I'm looking for, like, you know, chocolate and coffee in darker beers and a lot of hops in the lighter beers. So I'm trying to be a little more objective going forward.
Yeah, this is, and I feel like I say this a lot when I'm on the podcast, but this is one of those...
Like summer beers?
I was going to say an entry-level craft beer, drinker beer.
Oh, this is...
You know
is,
what I mean?
This like, is a perfect entry point for anyone that's not already into craft beer and they want to be. Great entry point, because it's got a little bit of the hops that they're going to experience if, they want to go further with craft beer. So it'll kind of prime them a little bit. That's a nice beer. Yeah. I do enjoy that. It's nice.
And I feel like I have been enjoying some light, easy-to-drink beers. I know we're kind of entering the colder season where I typically like my darker beers, but I've been enjoying some easy-to-drink light beers, like those IPLs.
One of the cool things on the Victory Brewing Company's website is that they have food pairing suggestions for all their beers. So I pulled those off the website before we started. So I'll tell you, for the Prima Pils, they recommend having it with seafood, burgers, and pizza. Which
I don't know about the burgers.
You don't think so? I could. I mean, I feel like any craft beer goes with pizza pretty much.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So that's easy. Seafood, I see where that is because delicate.
It's a light.
like a delicate flavor in the beer going with the delicate flavors of seafood.
But I think not all seafood though. I feel like a salmon or like a swordfish or some of those more like meaty fishes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would be paired. I feel like more like a tilapia or a cod or a halibut, something like that would be nice.
Yeah, I can see that. But when you talk about burgers, I guess it could kind of depend on what type of burger you're having. Like this with a turkey burger.
I was just going to say that.
Easy, because it's like a light, clean meat. But when you talk about like beef, especially if you're doing it out on the grill and that beef, it's like a darker, it's a much richer, darker flavor, a lot more fat to it. I think that it might be more suited towards like chicken burgers, turkey burgers, stuff like that. But, you know, whatever.
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, you can have any beer with any food.
Yeah.
This is just kind of like optimal pairing in their opinion. So.
Yeah. Okay. Are we moving on or do you have more facts?
Yeah, I have a little something to say.
Before we started,
let me do this. I'll go ahead and introduce the next beer.
Thank you.
And I'll let you start smelling it.
Before we started, I told Carlin, I'm like, please don't talk too much. I want to drink.
Yeah, well, you know. Okay, so the next beer we're going to talk about is Golden Monkey. This is a beer that's very highly acclaimed by Victory Brewing. A lot of people who haven't had a ton of craft beers but have had some Victory, they'll almost all know Golden Monkey. And people will be like, oh, Golden Monkey. If you say anything to anyone around here in craft beer about Golden Monkey, a lot of people are like, yeah, Golden Monkey.
Have you had it?
I've had Golden Monkey.
Oh, this is the one you've had back when your palate was
ready. It has been... That's another one coming up. But it has been a long time since I've had Golden Monkey. And
I don't think I've ever.
Golden Monkey is a Belgian style triple. The ABV on it is 9.5%, so it's up there. It's a high one. But anyway, a little bit of information about the actual brewery and their brewing process there at Victory. Just real quick stuff. They currently have their state-of-the-art German built bottling system, and it fills 3 bottles per second.
What?
12-ounce bottles, that is.
Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting fact to throw out there about them. Another thing that I thought was really cool is they're one of very few breweries out there that actually uses whole flower hops as opposed to the pelletized hops, which the big difference there is the pelletized are like heavily processed hops that, you know, they pack together and they actually make kind of mixes to get like the right alpha acid level for those pelletized hops. Whole leaf hops, or whole flower hops, those are just like straight up grown hops that are then dried out. And like, that's how they're done. You know, they're from the farm. They're not processed at all. So it's more of a natural way to use the hops. The other thing is Ron and Bill actually are involved in tasting every new beer for quality.
I feel like that's how it should be.
It is. And I know that like Trogs Brewing Company, like the Trogner brothers, they taste everything. And that's why, you know, we had the situation recently where they tried to do a barrel aged version of Flying Mouflon barley wine. And they did not like it because they tried it and they nixed it. They dumped it all. And they were like, we're just not doing it because we're not happy with it. So there are breweries out there where I'm sure the higher ups would be just like, you know what to do, brew the beer and send it out. And they're not tasting it. So it is good that they're that involved. And then the last little bit for right now that I wanted to throw out there that Rebecca will find interesting is Victory brews root beer too.
Ooh.
There are a few breweries out there that do brew root beer. I know Appalachian Brewing that we know of, they brew root beer. There's at least one other one that I know of that brews root beer, but I can't, they're not coming to mind at the moment.
It's always the best root beer.
Yeah, yeah. These like handcrafted root beers are amazing. So I haven't had Victories, but I'd be very interested to try it. But anyway, that's a little more information about them. Let's go ahead and start smelling this golden monkey.
I've been smelling it.
And what are your thoughts on the smell?
I can smell the alcohol right away.
Yeah, you do. Okay. You do get a little bit of like the tingle in your nostrils as you're breathing it in.
Don't breathe in too deep, it'll burn.
I do get that typical Belgian yeast smell with banana. A little banana-y. But there's also, you know, the interesting thing is it's not like really ripe banana. It's kind of more of like a young, unripened banana, which a lot of times has a little tartness to it.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And that's kind of what I'm getting out of the nose. I'm also getting a little, I mean, it's like coriander in there. I think this is, let me see the bottle. I think there are spices added to it. Yeah, it's triple ale with spice added. So I wouldn't be surprised if coriander is in there. But I can read the bottle afterwards and see. But yeah, it smells like, you know.
It smells like what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm going to start trying it.
Okay, I'm reading the bottle.
Okay. I'm going to be honest, I am tasting basically exactly what I smelled, which is a really nice thing to say, because a lot of breweries out there, you'll have that situation where you smell something in the beer and then you taste it and you're like, well, it doesn't taste the way it smells at all. I think this tastes exactly the way it smells.
Yeah, I do too. And I actually am surprised it doesn't taste, I don't taste the alcohol in it as much.
It's very well hidden.
And Carlin was like pointing at me as I'm talking. Yes. That's what you were gonna say.
Well, I was just saying that's a point, a really good point to make, because a lot of people I know have said that they really like this beer because it'll sneak up on you.
Oh yeah.
You don't know you're drinking 9.5% alcohol. It is very well hidden, and that means it's a well crafted beer.
And I didn't think I was gonna like this because I have been a little more turned off by Belgians recently, just because I'm not digging that banana, the Belgian yeast.
But it's not aggressive.
But no, it's really mild, easy to drink.
Yes.
But it's again full of flavor. I really like this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of Belgians for me too. It's just not. That banana is really, really strong a lot of the times. And the spices to it are real strong.
And that's so off-putting to me.
You know, Belgian yeast to me a lot of times, I'm just not, it's not my thing. But with this, all of the notes are in harmony. They're all like at the same level. There's nothing dominating and they just kind of like blend together. And I like it. And like you said, you know, you cannot tell that it's 9.5.
Not at all.
I'll actually read the bottle on this. Magical mystical monkey whose golden soul glow. You know what? Stop. I'm not going to read that. I think it's kind of stupid, that extra text. I just want to see if there are any sort of flavor notes on what they're actually putting in there. No, they don't actually have anything on there. It says exotic spice from the east rounds out this global journey. They don't specifically say what spices they put in there.
Yeah, I couldn't find it either.
And actually, that makes me wonder, for the Prima Pils, did they put any? They just put, for Prima Pils, just whole flower European hops and fine German malts. And that's one thing I found on the website, is they were just saying, like, for each beer, they were just saying, this goes well with this food, and this is what's in it. Like, they'd say, like, German two-row malt, and then they'd just say American hops or European hops. Like, they don't specify. And I know a lot of breweries out there will specify. So I don't know if this is a situation where Victory's like, we really want to keep our recipes really close to the best. Or not, but, you know, they don't have that information on there. I kind of like to see that information, but
I do too. I like to read a little bit about beers.
So the golden monkey, what kind of food would you want to put the golden monkey with?
He keeps trying to hide it with
me. I'll tell you what they recommend on the website.
I have no idea. I'm not really good. If you say something, I can be like yes or no, but I'm not good with like coming up with things on my own.
Well, they say seafood for the golden monkey as well, which I can see, you know, it's light, it's delicate and. But then they also said sheep's milk cheeses, which I feel is like super specific.
I don't even know any sheep's milk cheeses.
I'm sure we've had some because we've had a lot of cheeses before, but we don't typically find out, is this cow, sheep, goat, whatever.
Okay,
although I do feel like I can pick out goat because it has a very particular taste.
Okay, interesting. I could see how this would be a beer that you would want to drink with cheeses because it has a little more flavor to it than the pills. So I think it would hold up to some of the stronger flavor cheeses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're I guess they're saying sheep's milk cheeses because they're not going way out on a limb and saying, like, you know, real tough stuff like Gouda or like any blue cheeses because those are really aggressive flavors. So, although
how
maybe
do you know, is Gouda cow?
I think so. And I was just going to say I'm making assumptions that it's not sheep's.
I was like, wow, you know more than I thought you did about cheeses.
So someone can go ahead and send an email and be like, you idiot, those are sheep's milk cheeses.
Correct.
I don't know for sure. Okay, well, let me tell you, our next beer, so the Golden Monkey was good. Better than you thought it would be, right?
Yeah, I know. We sat down to do this, and I was like, I'm not going to like any of these.
You're fine with the Prima Pills.
Yeah.
You like that. You like the Golden Monkey. Hey, you never know. All right, the next one is one that I have had before, but it's been a little bit. It's my style. It's an IPA. It's their Hop Devil IPA, and this is a 6.7% alcohol by volume beer. So I'll
go
ahead.
Can I have some water to rinse?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I poured water for myself, but I didn't.
Come on. Take care of your wife.
I know. I need to. In this case, my co-host as well.
Oh, sorry.
That's
my co-host.
Important. Yeah, you're my co-host on this one.
Okay.
So.
Sorry.
All right.
All business.
Yeah, all business. I do remember really liking this beer prior, but it's probably been about a year, maybe a little bit more since I had it. Although I do have a very particular memory with this beer. When Rebecca and I got married on our wedding day, I had a bunch of beer that we bought, and I didn't want to have too much for our wedding because I don't want people getting totally hammered. So I bought like a mixed pack of Victory, a mixed pack of Trogues, and a mixed pack of Smutty Nose, and people went through it, and I only had time because everyone knows like it's hectic for weddings. I only had time to drink one beer, and the one beer I drank on our wedding was Hop Devil.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know you've told me that before, but...
Yeah, so it's it really sticks out in my mind
and
as being
a special
beer. And
we just celebrated our anniversary two
we
days
did.
Ago.
We did. So this is a good beer to have.
It is a good beer.
Right now.
And I have to say, I love the name and I love the artwork on the bottle.
Yeah. Which, by the way, on the website they had said that this is... The image of the like this devil head made out of hops... is an image that had been in the mind of, I think it was Bill for some time.
Oh, really?
Bill Kovaleski, yeah. So, he had come up with that concept a long time ago.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, while you smell on that and sip on it, whatever you want to do, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how Victory actually emphasizes environmental responsibility at their brewery.
Nice.
Yeah.
I support that.
When they've moved into buildings, they use existing buildings already, so that they're not taking up extra land and they're not creating all this extra waste by, you know, inhabiting, like creating a new building, because that creates a lot more waste and it's also taking up, you know, tree space, you know, taking down forest. So they use existing buildings. They also have energy harnessing and energy efficient equipment that they brew with. So
nice.
They try and keep, you know, keep it environmentally friendly in that way. They use solar panels to harness energy for their brewery, which is a very awesome thing. They recycle their spent malt grain by sending it to local farmers who then use it for, you know, feeding their animals.
Really?
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Very cool. And then the last thing they did is in 2010, they actually started composting at their brewery. So
that's great.
And they also have a restaurant in the area,
right.
So they're composting from that as well.
Yeah.
So.
That's, you know, Carl and I always have a running list of local breweries and brew pubs we want to go to, and Victory's on the list, but it's a little bit of a drive for us. So.
It's a little further than a lot of the ones we've already been to, so it's kind of like, yeah. So
it's on there. We'll get there one day, Victory.
We will. And then the other thing about their environmental initiatives, their Headwaters Pale Ale, which is a Citra hopped pale ale. That is really good. I've talked about it before on the show, and I've liked it. One cent for every bottle that they sell of their Headwaters, they donate to environmental advocacy groups.
Wait, 1 cent?
1 cent from every bottle.
Okay.
So each six pack is 6 cents.
6 cents.
So, I mean, when I read that, I was like, that's not a whole lot yeah. of proceeds, but that's like a forever thing.
Right.
Like, they're going to do Headwaters every year. It's a like a seasonal thing. It's not, you know, one of their mains. I don't think it's one of their mainstays, at least. But,
Uh-oh. Correct him on that, too.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I don't think it's a year-round, but, when you think about it, like,
it adds up.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, really. I was just going to say that. It's better than nothing.
And I'm sure these advocacy groups are very happy to receive that money. So,
absolutely.
There are plenty of breweries out there that don't do that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's refreshing to hear it. So I just thought that was really cool stuff about how green they really are as a company. And
your facts are interesting. I'm glad you're talking.
Well, tell me what you think.
Sorry.
You've smelled the beer?
I just smelled it once.
What do you smell in there?
Well, I definitely get the hop presence, but it's definitely more of the piney.
Yeah.
I just don't like I don't like pine.
It's piney. It's kind of spicy, too.
Yeah. It tastes it smells like the woods.
I feel like it's kind of peppery a little bit.
Really?
Like, not like the fruit peppers. Or, I'm sorry, the vegetable. Like, the vegetable like pepper. Like,
black pepper?
Yeah, a little black
like
pepper-ish.
Like peppercorns. No, I don't get that.
Well, that's what I pull out of, like, saying it's kind of a little spicy in the nose to me.
Okay.
Also, very piney, very kind of a little resiny.
Our cat is like staring us down. I think she's mad that we're doing this podcast.
I think she's just mad she can't have any beer because she's a cat. Yeah, you're not allowed to have beers.
You're underage.
I smell a slight bit of citrusiness, but it's like under the pine.
Yes, I was just going
to
say.
You have to work for it.
Now that I'm doing the swirling and cupping, I'm getting more of the citrus. Okay, that's it.
But it's kind of like a deep citrus. It's like concentrated citrus a little bit. Rebecca doesn't look like she's extremely happy with it.
I don't know. Not my thing.
It's definitely piney.
Yeah, I just don't like.
It's definitely got a little bit of that kind of like spiciness to it. In my opinion, like, I feel like on my tongue, it kind of feels a little bit like peppercorns, like actual pepper on my tongue.
Yeah, I get more of the black pepper, more in the finish.
This isn't my typical, what I like from an IPA.
Right.
But as far as, like, piney IPAs go, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rant and rave about this beer, but it still has a special place in my heart because of our wedding. So, you know.
Oh, I don't even remember what I drank on our wedding.
I don't think you had beer because I didn't think you were that big into beer back then.
I think I did, and we made Carlin and I got married in our backyard and had a very small wedding, only 30 people. I remember I made sangria, but I thought I had sangria and I thought I had a beer, but I don't really remember actually.
Oh, you
know, I'm still drinking.
You better slam it.
Gosh, she tried to put water in my glass. I'm not done. It's good. I mean, I don't think I would go out of my way to seek out this beer, but if someone gave me one, I wouldn't necessarily turn it down.
Right.
I know I've talked about baby beers. This is one I feel like I could...
You drink a baby beer, that one.
Absolutely drink a baby beer. The whole one, I would kind of be like, eh.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, I think...
respectable.
I remember it being a lot better to me than this, but I think that's because my taste has changed so much since then. Like, that's just kind of the way it is. I used to love red ales at some point, just like straight up red ales. And I really don't now. So, yeah, I mean, it just changes.
I think it depends on your mood, the company you're in, what you're doing. Are you inside? Are you outside? The weather.
Yep.
So,
so the Hop Devil IPA, they recommend that you have it with cheddar cheese.
Okay.
Barbecue ribs.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, and grilled meats. I could definitely see this going with that stuff.
Yeah, I do too.
And also, you know, if you think about it, like grilled meats, like you grill burgers, and then the cheddar cheese, they're saying, put some cheddar cheese on a grilled burger and then have this beer with it. I think that would go pretty well. I do think this, for me, would be a beer that would be enhanced by having it with the right food.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate it even more.
This would be a beer that we need to take over to Kyle's when he makes some, like, brisket or something.
Oh yeah, Kyle makes like awesome ass brisket, pulled pork barbecue, man. That too.
And we were just with him the other night, and I'm like, man, you need to make some barbecue. I need to come over. But
you might hear a pop.
Uh oh.
Oh. Oh, there it is.
Jeez, I knew it was coming and it was still scary. This is the one I don't think I'm going to like.
Okay, this is one Rebecca doesn't think is going to like. Okay, so the next one is actually Wild Devil, which is...
Again, super cute name.
Yes, and it is the Hop Devil, their IPA, but with Brettanomyces added, which Brettanomyces is a bacteria that takes beer and makes it sour, you know, so gives it a lot of sour characteristics. So basically, I'm expecting to taste kind of, you know, like piney notes and then sourness. I've also had Wild Devil before, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I had it. And when I had it, I wasn't into sours, so... And I think I remember enjoying it then, so I don't know. Maybe I'll love it now. I don't know. Let me go ahead and pour you some right now, Rebecca, so you can get started on this sucker. At least smelling it, tasting it if you want to. Giving her a nice pour of that. And this one, the other three beers were in 12-ounce bottles. This one is in a 750-milliliter bottle. It is a special release beer that they do seasonally.
Limited release beers. I may like this. Carl's like, you always say you're not going to like it, and then you always do.
Yeah, a perfect example I told her beforehand is, you know, if anybody listened to our style episode about reds and ambers, we had that Out of Kilter Scotch Red Wee Heavy by Hop and Frog, and she was like, I'm not going to like that, and she really liked it.
Yeah.
I kind of felt the same way. I didn't know how I was going to be, but I really liked it. Okay, so just the last bit of information I want to throw out about the brewery itself. The original lineup for the brewery when they first started out was Hop Devil. Okay. So that's been there from the beginning. Their Fest beer, which is like a Mosson style.
Okay.
Which is, you know, like people say Oktoberfest beers, right. The Mosson style. That's that one. And a Brandywine Valley Lager, which they don't make anymore.
Okay.
You know, straight up lager. And then here's the question you were asking about distribution.
Oh, mm-hmm.
They are distributed in 34 states in the United States. In addition to that, they're distributed in Japan.
Really?
Singapore.
Wow.
The United Kingdom. Sweden. And the Cayman Islands. Kind of crazy. Isn't that kind of like all over the map?
Don't you wonder what like people in the UK or Japan, like what their like favorite beers are from the U.S.?
Yes,
that would be really interesting.
I do wonder that. It's very interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if the information is out there on the internet too.
Yeah,
like someone's actually done that.
I'm sure
research.
It is. Everything's on the internet.
It's all on the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least one of those internets.
One of those internets.
Right. So let's go ahead and start smelling the Wild Devil. It also is 6.7% alcohol by volume, just like the Hop Devil. And actually, I'm just gonna look at the Hop Devil and see if it had any flavor notes. No, once again, it just doesn't.
It's funny that...
Oh, no, it did say that it's bold and spicy.
Oh, well, you picked out the spice.
Yeah, we got the spicy aspect of it.
I don't know if I would describe it as bold, necessarily.
Well, I feel like the pine was pretty bold in it. And I felt like the spice was kind of bold.
Okay.
You know, like the peppery spiciness, so... All right, well, smell
and
the...
It's funny because I, whenever I think of Victory, I always think of Hop Devil. So it's funny, that's one of their...
It's, especially because of the label, it's very iconic for them.
Yeah.
Well, and also the fact that that was one of their original lineup beers. You know, it's been there for so long, it is synonymous with Victory.
Well, you definitely get the sour notes on
this. Yeah. It smells, it definitely smells like there's been Brettanomyces in this beer because it is sour.
When I smell it, my mouth is already, like, preparing for, like, the...
My mouth starts to water a little bit when I smell that
kind of... And I feel like... I'm, like, puckering up already.
But other than that, can you pick anything else out? I actually do still smell the pine.
Really? I mean, I get some, like, fruit. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think that's kind of the sourness coming through. Which, you know, it's kind of like a lemony, tart scent to it.
Yeah.
It smells, I mean, it smells good to me. It smells really refreshing and
I don't know.
Nice.
I'm just not real big into sours.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and... The sourness is not aggressive.
It's not as sour as I thought it was going to be.
It's just kind of like this hint of sour.
Yeah, it's real subtle.
It's like a very slight, it's just kind of like a little, a slight squeeze of lemon on on it.
I can
you know,
see
like
that.
If you get some water, you get tea, and you just want like a little wedge of lemon, you just give it a little squeeze. That's kind of what it is like to me. It's like the Brettanomyces just gave like a little squeeze of lemon to the Hop Devil.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't...
It's not that... I'm going to be honest, it's not that drastically different from the Hop Devil, in my opinion. You just have that small tartness to it.
I think it's very different.
Actually, you're right. It does... After I said that, I started thinking it's making a little more like citrus rind type flavor. It's definitely downplaying the pine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like I personally am not getting any pine in this.
Mm. I still get the pine. I definitely still get that pine. But it's definitely toned down quite a bit because there's more of a citrusy presence to it. And I still get some of that spiciness to it. It's definitely not nearly what it was.
Okay.
But I still get it.
I think my palate is just overwhelmed by the sourness.
I don't think it's that sour, though. It's just, like, so slight, in my opinion. You know?
It's not as offensive as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
It's, I think, an easy-to-drink sour, but just not my thing.
I think it's decent. I mean, I'm not... Honestly, I'm not blown away by it, and I kind of would like it to have transformed the Hop Devil even more. Yeah. Like, at this stage in my palate life, I'm kind of looking for it to be a bit more sour. I think I would enjoy it if it was more sour, but it's not bad.
No, not at all, not at all.
It's definitely not bad. Okay, and the Wild Devil, they recommend this with sheep's milk cheeses, once again. Like they recommend the golden monkey with that, and spicy barbecue.
Ooh.
Spicy barbecue.
I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now, that, I mean,
we,
that's it.
Are we rating these?
I'd say just put them in an order of how you liked them. You know, what was your favorite to what was your least favorite?
I feel like the last... This is kind of hard to do because they're just, like, drastically different. Yes. When we've done this before, they've all been the same style.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. The reason that I picked these specific beers, because there were a lot to choose from, you know? And I at one point, I thought about putting the Dirt Wolf in here because, you know, it's their double IPA. But I was like, no, not the Dirt Wolf. We've had it in one of our... We had it in our Imperial tournament, which it's a very nice beer. I thought about putting the Fest beer in because it was one of their original beers. But then I was just like, eh, I'd kind of rather have... some of these other ones, but I chose what I chose because I wanted to be very different. But then with the Hop Devil versus the Wild Devil, I wanted it to be like, can we is it that drastic of a difference adding that Brettanomyces to the Hop Devil? Like, is it worth doing that beer? Is it that different? And in my opinion, I mean, it's different, but it's not like crazy different.
But I think it's crazy different.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if they did this to like the same batch.
I can see that. That would be interesting.
Yeah, because that would be more of a controlled comparison.
But if their quality control is good, which I feel like it probably is, there shouldn't be much of a difference anyway from batch to batch.
I feel like the Prima Pils and the Golden Monkey are pretty equal for me.
Okay.
And then I guess the Hop Devil and then Wild Devil.
Okay, so... If you had to pick one over the other, the Prima Pils and the Golden Monkey, what do you think you would do?
I feel like right now I would say the Prima Pils.
Okay. I gotcha. So you would go, your favorite's the Prima Pils, then the Golden Monkey, then the Hop Devil, then the Wild Devil?
Just like we tasted them.
Okay, exactly, exactly the way we tasted them. Man, okay. It's tough for me, too. But mine's going to be drastically different. I'm going to say I think the Golden Monkey was my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, I like the Golden Monkey the most, then the Prima Pils, then the Wild Devil, and then the Hop Devil. So, that's my order.
Okay.
Drastically different from yours. Yeah. And that's a perfect example of how, you know, different craft beer drinkers have very different tastes and what they like.
Yeah.
But what did you think of this episode? Were you surprised by the beers at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think I liked them more than I thought I was going to. I was like, the Pils, probably I won't like. The Golden Monkey, I usually don't like Belgian. The Hop Devil, I was like, kind of excited about because I'm getting more into hoppy beers. And I didn't think I would like the Wild Devil at all, which I actually like it more than I thought I was going to. So, all in all, this was a good showing by Victory.
Yeah, it is. These are all at least beers that I would drink if someone gave them to me. Yeah. You know?
I wouldn't dump any of them.
So yeah, totally awesome. Hopefully, you know, you listeners enjoyed this episode, this style of episode, doing the brewery showcase. I do want to do more in the future. I think it's a good way to just kind of get to know breweries a little bit more. So if you guys have any ideas out there, you want to send an email and say, hey, I'd really like to see you do, you know, whatever brewery, like Dogfish Head, or I want you to do Trogues or Heavy Seas, you know, whatever. If we can get the stuff, we'll do it. Or if it's from your area, wherever you are, and you want to send us some of the beers for it, we could do that too. Or if you know a brewery and you can talk to them and get them to send beers to us, that'd be great as well.
We'll take free beer.
Or if you are affiliated with a brewery and you're listening, send us some beer and we'll do a showcase episode. We'll also put your stuff in our, you know, normal tournament style stuff. So, awesome. Hope everyone had a wonderful time. We certainly did. We're going to make a night out of this and finish these beers off.
I'm going to finish the beers while baking.
Yes, Rebecca's going to bake some muffins and drink beer. That's one of my favorite things to do, just drinking some beer.
And bake?
No, like drinking some beer and just like doing something else, some sort of other task.
Yeah.
And I will say I cook things from time to time, and drinking some beer and cooking is very nice.
You cook more than just time to time.
That's true. I do cook a decent amount. But anyway, it's nothing crazy.
We've digressed.
Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode. Victory, thank you very much for making good beers.
Yeah.
And everybody, don't forget to
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.